This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart." Yes, the Word of God is living and effective today in my life and in yours. And that's the very reason why I'm offering this weekly podcast where I reflect upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. So now, please join me on Faith Moments with Dina Marie as we break open the Word of God together, inviting His Word to change our lives forever.
Hi, this is Dina Marie of Faith Moments. I want to welcome you back to this opportunity to ponder and proclaim our Sunday Mass readings together. We're entering the fourth Sunday of Easter, and this is known as Good Shepherd Sunday. And you'll hear through the readings why we call this Good Shepherd Sunday. I encourage you to be listening for the focus of who is the Good Shepherd, and what are the qualifications or the characteristics of a true Good Shepherd? Do you have any of those qualities or characteristics? And how has a Good Shepherd cared for you and your heart? So on this Good Shepherd Sunday, I want to begin by entering into the Collect Prayer. It's that first prayer the priest prays as we come together and listen to the Word. We have the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist. We are thankful for Thanksgiving, for the Holy Eucharist, and we come together to first listen to the Word of God. And so, as you know, we've been reading through the time of Easter, the Acts of the Apostles. I never tire of hearing the beginnings of the start of the church. You know, the church started as the apostles were gathering together in the upper room, and Jesus comes after he has been resurrected from the dead. He comes in his body, shows them his wounds, and, you know, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, sending that paraclete, he sends the apostles out to do the work that Christ came to do. And so we hear more and more of these amazing stories of the apostles. They can't do any of this without Jesus Christ, without the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then their lives change, as our lives should change when we encounter Jesus Christ. So let's hear the first prayer that the church prays with us on this Good Shepherd Sunday. Almighty ever-living God, lead us to a share in the joys of heaven, so that the humble flock may reach where the brave shepherd has gone before, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. And as we hear that prayer, I hope that you desire the joys of heaven. You know, that's our journey. We do have a pilgrimage here on earth, but we are pilgrims, and we do need to take advantage of the moments that we have as we move through our lives, in our families, in our work, in our ministries, in just the daily life, washing the dishes, washing the car, preparing the garden, taking care of the children, providing good education for our young people. You know, what is it that we're called to do? And we're asking God that the humble flock, are we led to be humble? That we can reach where that brave shepherd has gone before. That shepherd is going to lead us to the joys of heaven. So let's keep that in mind as we hear the readings today. Our first reading for the fourth Sunday of Easter is a reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "Leaders of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple, namely, by what means he was saved, then all of you and all the people of Israel should know that it was in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, In his name, this man stands before you. He is the stone rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved. The word of the Lord. Our psalm, Psalm 118, the stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me and have been my Savior. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. It is wonderful in our eyes. The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me and have been my Savior. The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his kindness endures forever. The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. Our second reading is a reading from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God. Yet so we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. We do know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The word of the Lord. Our gospel reading is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Good Shepherd Sunday. And one of the things that we're encouraged to do, and I hope you all do on a regular basis, is pray for our priests. Pray for good and holy priests to continue to be called to the priesthood, for good and holy men, men who are willing to put their life on the line for another, men who are filled with that love. And we're going to talk a little bit about that a little bit more. I want to just go to the Acts of the Apostles because that's the first reading we hear today. And again, I love the Acts of the Apostles and we have so much to learn. And in the 20 some years that I have been going through the Easter season as an adult Catholic, every year we get these readings. We get literally 50 days, give or take maybe a few, of hearing the Acts of the Apostles every day. And the church, just gives us this history, this foundation of our Catholic faith through Peter and all of the apostles. And so here we are in chapter 4 of the Acts of the Apostles. But remember, in chapter 3, we heard about the cure of the crippled beggar. And so Peter and John were going to prayer, and this crippled beggar comes to him, and they say, "In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene." Powerful. Boom. You know, the name of Christ, be healed. And he leaps up and he stands around, and everybody around there knows, they recognize this man as being long time cripple. He's always come to this place called the beautiful gate to be healed, but nothing has ever changed in his condition. And then today, through the invocation of the holy name of Jesus Christ, he is healed. And it's not Peter and John, because the people are starting to look to Peter and John, and Peter and John say, "Hey, wait a minute, you know, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, our ancestors, it's through Jesus whom you handed over, whom you crucified. It's through him that these great things are happening." And so now in chapter 4, we have even the Sadducees now confronting Peter and the band of brothers. And this is the one thing I remember from the Sadducees, and I don't know, remember who said it, but we've got the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, the Pharisees believe in the resurrection of the dead. They believe in eternal life. They believe in angels. The Sadducees, it's sad, you see. That's how I remember that the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection. So now these guys are saying Jesus was resurrected from the dead. You know, this is something that they are just not willing to believe in, the Sadducees. It's Sadducee. And so they are confronting these men that have been filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter. And they're disturbed because they're teaching about this man, Jesus, who they claim has been resurrected from the dead. And they are appalled. It's just, can we put ourselves in that place? It's hard to, but thanks be to God, we have the Acts of the Apostles. We have chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. You know, while they were still speaking to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and the Sadducees confronted them, disturbed that they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. See, they didn't want to hear about Jesus, and they certainly didn't want to hear about the resurrection. They laid hands on him and put them in custody. But many of those who heard the word came to believe, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. So just in that one instance, the believers are growing by the thousands. I mean, this is incredible. This is the work of the Holy Spirit through Peter and the apostles. And so then we have these the Sanhedrin questioning again Peter. And then it says here, Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. Now we get today's reading, because see, they're being pressured. On the next day, the elders, the scribes were all assembled with Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander. It's all the high ranking leaders of the church. They're coming. They brought them into the presence and questioned them meaning Peter and the apostles. "By what power or what name have you done this?" Then Peter, again, we get this, led by the Holy Spirit, says, and he goes on, he says, "It was in the name of Jesus the Nazarene." He is not going to bow down. "I am standing for Christ." You know, vivo Cristo Rey. I am standing for my Lord. "There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved." Period. Exclamation point. End of story. You know, but Peter and the rest will continue to fight for the name of Jesus Christ. That's what our priests are doing today. You know, they're fighting for the name of Jesus. They've been called to the priesthood, not so they can wear chasubles and light candles and, be a leader in a community. They are called to bring Christ to the world. In the name of Jesus, they are called to be priests, to bring us new life. The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. The people did not recognize that this man, who is truly man and truly God at the same time, is the one who will save us. And he, the stone that they wanted to throw away, is the one who will be the cornerstone for us in eternal life. Let's go to the Gospel of John. And if you are doing the Bible in a Year podcast, I've mentioned this a few times because I've enjoyed, and I know I'm going to need to do this a few times, but start once with the Bible in a Year podcast and then continue to go because we're just now getting into the story of David. And I want to go, if I can get my Bible open, to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17. And, you know, most of us probably know, maybe from the children's Bible version of David and Goliath. But, you know, to tell you the truth, I've never read the whole chapter, like 16, 17, 18, where you really get the whole story of Saul and David and Jesse and all of that. But I just want to read this section where David, the youngest of all of the brothers, his father, we know David's a shepherd. He's the youngest of all the brothers. And so he's been sent out and has done this for most of his life to live his life as a shepherd. What's our theme today? Good shepherd, laying down his life for his sheep. And so we know there has to be a certain lifestyle that is required of a good shepherd. And so now here's this giant Goliath, you know, and they describe, you know, this gigantic man clad with all of this armor and, you know, just as arrogant as they can be. And I'm going to kill the Israelites and we're just going to take one man. One man's going to fight me. Whoever wins, the group is going to, you know, if I win, you're all going to serve me. If you win, we'll all serve you. And he knows nobody can beat me. And here's David, young boy, ruddy, handsome. And he's been hearing Goliath. And so it says, then David spoke to Saul, because Saul was the king at the time. Let your majesty not lose courage. I am at your service to go and fight this Philistine. I am at your service. But Saul answered David. Now, remember this, that as Goliath is flapping his jaws, everybody, the whole Israelite army is in fear. They are trembling. Nobody wants to fight this guy. He is awful. But this doesn't quiver David. He has a courage that's not just a courage this is a true courage that comes from something deeper than I hope I can acquire wealth and riches from winning this war. No, he loves the Lord. And so he comes up without fear, like Peter. Peter didn't have fear. After he had been very fearful, now there's a different stake. Now we have something different. It's just not about me. Now I know it's Jesus, the Nazarene, the Savior of the world, the sacrifice who makes us whole. I am at your service to go and fight this Philistine. Can you see it? I love it. But Saul answered David, you cannot go up against this Philistine and fight with him, for you are only a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth. Now, this is what I love. Then David told Saul, your servant used to tend his father's sheep. Listen to it. And whenever a lion or bear came to carry off a sheep from the flock, I would go after it and attack it and rescue the prey from its mouth. If it attacked me, I would seize it by the jaw, strike it, and kill it. This is a true warrior. This is one who isn't going to run away when the sheep are being attacked. He is willing to fight for the life of his sheep. Your servant has killed both a lion and a bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be as one of them, because he has insulted the armies of the living God. You know what fires David up? Is that his living God, the God of the Israelites, is being defiled. And this is repeated often, that he is just offended that his God is being defiled by the Philistines, who are worshiping all of these pagan gods, and he wants to have nothing of it. And he is going to fight that to the death. David continued, "The Lord, who delivered me from the claws of the lion and bear, will also keep me safe from the clutches of this Philistine." Saul said, I love this, "Go, the Lord will be with you." It's probably like wiping his brow. Okay, well, let's let him go for it. And what courage, but that courage isn't from an ego, like I am so great, you know, like the egos that I seem to see in the promotions of like the World Wrestling Federation or whatever. You see these men that are just like animals. There is a courage and a strength that comes from love. It comes from the love of God, and I'm going to defend that love. You know, it's as we should be in America, to defend our country, defend our countrymen out of a love of God and country, that we pledge allegiance to the flag. Because there's a love, a self-sacrificing love that doesn't come from, what am I going to get out of this? Because there's also a conversation you'll hear in 1 Samuel. Well, if somebody's going to beat this Philistine, what are they going to get? What are they going to get? It's not about what I'm going to get. I'm going to get these riches. I'm going to be able to marry into this family. No, it's about the love of God. It's about commitment to do what is right. It's about sacrifice. What comes from sacrifice? A total love, a total love. I love you so much that I will suffer, that I will be inconvenienced. That I will, how many times in the gospel here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times that Jesus says in the scripture we heard today, I will lay down my life. I'm going to go so far because I so love you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, he will go to the far extremes of sacrifice, the one and only sacrifice. And this is what I think we should get out of this. There's so much. I am the good shepherd. David gives us this sense, and isn't the line of doesn't Jesus come from the line of David? That one king that had a heart for the Lord. It was the heart that gave him the courage to do what no man would do. And he was willing to fight for the banner of God. And now Jesus says, I am that good shepherd. I am the one who will and am laying down my life for the sheep. And there's a relationship that is involved. There's a relationship of knowing the voice. You know, I know mine and mine know me. It's not this subservient, I have overpowering you as a king who might not know anything about his subjects. No, this shepherd knows his sheep, and the sheep know the shepherd. They hear his voice and they're comforted. Because I lay down my life, I'm willing to sacrifice out of love. You know, our priests are willing to sacrifice. You know, many times I see our priests, they're stuck in administrative duties. They got to budget balance the budget. They've got to hire and fire. They've got to figure out how to get a youth group put together, you know, and they're just like all these things about administrative. But you know what? Their heart is about caring for their sheep. And I see those shepherds who are so concerned about the souls of their sheep. I want to make sure my people get to confession. I want to make sure my people know why confession is so important. I want to make sure people know how presenting themselves you know, in a state of grace to the Holy Eucharist is so important. Acts of mercy, acts of love. You know, those shepherds who want, they want our souls in heaven and will do whatever they can do. They'll sacrifice, they'll fast. I think of a Saint John Vianney, the patron saint of all priests, who sacrificed, who was hours in the confessional because they knew, he knew it was that that was going to get those people to heaven and snatch souls from the devil. This is what a true shepherd does, snatches the souls from those wolves, from those robbers and thieves. They exist today, and they're never not going to exist until we get to heaven, until that final coming. But God has given us the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. Call out to Jesus. If you don't have a relationship with your shepherd today, call out to him. Let him be there for you. Call out to the Lord Jesus Christ, our good shepherd. Peace be with you.
You have been listening to Faith Moments with Dina Marie, reflections upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. New podcast episodes are released weekly through the generous support of Mater Dei Radio. To learn more about Faith Moments with Dina Marie, visit me online at dinamarie.org. That's dinamarie.org. May you have a blessed week.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdeiradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.